In a trice, I rushed to the door and threw open the chest beside it. This is my emergency kit. I retrieve all the things I need, the bottle of heavy-duty spray-on sunscreen, the sweatpants, sweatshirt, gloves, boots, sunglasses, cloak and hood. In just a few seconds, I've applied every bit of protection. Only at this point, when I'm prepared, do I pause for a wee tick to be sure there's still a reason to venture outside. Aye, the evil's still there. Sweet corruption. I open the front door quietly so as not to alert anyone to my presence. Aye, but I want to throw it open. And the scent of pure evil washes over me. The honeyed fragrance engulfs my senses. Drool spills from my eager lips. So close. The familiar rage builds like a smithy furnace stoked by a bellows within me. Here, in my very neighborhood. Practically on my front lawn. Through the red haze of my wrath, I barely notice that my flower beds are indeed torn up, the destroyer having fled. I do not care for that. The one I hunt now has done far worse than petty vandalism. Nay, the evil I smell can be caused only by murder and violence. The scent turns my head to the southwest. I cannot see the source, but the direction is certain. I follow the airborne spoor across the street into the right toward, that open garage. 'Tis the Murphy's home. I can see two cars, neither one of them running. Now I can hear voices, hushed but emphatic voices.
My money, cabron.
I dinna recognize the voice. Tomorrow. I'll have it tomorrow. That voice I recognize. 'Tis Aaron Murphy. I do not know the family well since they are near my ward, but Aaron's the oldest boy in the family. He plays football or baseball or some other sport at the high school. I do hope he's not the source of the evil. I approached the garage with all stealth, fighting hard to contain the mounting rage and ravenous hunger.
You said that yesterday, man, and the day before that. You've been hiding from me.
I swear, Manny, tomorrow.
You don't get it, muchacho. I give you products. You give it to your little friends at school. You give me my money. I give you more product. You sell it, you give me money. You get to go on making everyone think you're just a good little Mormon boy. That's how it works.
Please, Manny.
Not this time, cabron. I gotta teach you a lesson. Today, I'm just gonna break your fingers.
I round a corner of the garage and take in the whole scene. In the confined space between a compact car on the left and the Murphy's family minivan on the right, Aaron, the all-American boy, is pinned against the larger vehicle, held there by a big Hispanic man complete with a bandana, gold chains, tattoos, multiple piercings, and a nasty-looking switchblade. Manny, the thug, has one hand at Aaron's throat. The other hand holds the knife an inch away from the lad's eye.
Next time I cut off one of your fingers, muchacho. Just try catching a football like. A snarl rips from my throat.
Manny releases the boy and spins to face me. He looks startled but nae frightened. Aaron's head snaps in my direction, but he remains rooted to the spot. He looks horrified. The thug's face twists in an evil leer.
Beat it, chica. This is none of your business.
I laugh low and menacingly.
Ach, Nairat, ye are my business.
I step into the shade of the garage, safely out of the muted sunlight. I throw back my hood and pull off my sunglasses, setting them on the trunk of the sedan. I fix Aaron's eyes with my own and say with persuasion, lad, go stand over there and wait for me while I deal with this. Aaron's expression goes slack and he turns obediently and walks to the far wall of the garage. I return my gaze to the gangster, who's staring at Aaron in amazement. Now, rat, I say, face me, look into my eyes and see the hellfire that awaits you.